This episode of Coffee House Shots is sponsored by Alliance Witten Investment Trust. From the OPEC oil crisis of the 1970s, the financial crash in 2008, to the COVID epidemic and Liz Truss's doomed premiership, there has been no shortage of economic crises over the last 58 years. And yet, throughout that time, every single year, without fail, we've paid out an increased dividend to our shareholders. In fact, Alliance Witten's history dates all the way back to 1888. And today, we manage around £5 billion in assets. If you're looking for a less stressful way to invest in stocks and shares, learn more about Alliance Witten and find your comfort zone.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots. I'm Katie Bulls and I'm joined by Kay Andrews. And I'm sad to say, for the last time in her current capacity, Cindy Yu, who is leaving us to join The Times, where she's going to be writing about China and also appearing in video and other platforms. But we might steal you back for occasional, you know, they'll let you do that,
It'll
right?
It'll have to be for a hefty fee by that point, Katie.
Yeah, the fees are famously big, particularly these days. Now, let's talk about the big news of the day, other than your imminent departure, Cindy, and that is Donald Trump and tariffs. Kate, we've spent most of the week, some of the weekend, trying to understand, guess what Donald Trump might do in his global trade war. He said that he was committed to it, that he was not for turning. And yet we have something that looks like a change in tack last night, right?
Looks like a very significant change in tack from the president, who yesterday morning was on Truth Social sharing comments like, be cool, all exclamation points, and this is a great time to buy, DJT, all caps and exclamation points, referring to the stock market, of course, trying to do the best spin he possibly could a week into his tariff updates for why the market was in free fall over and over and over again. Then all of a sudden, stocks are soaring because the president comes out and he announces what seems like a very significant pivot. He is dropping all of the higher, quote, reciprocal rates of tariffs on countries for at least 90 days. It should be noted that that baseline 10% still kicks in. The exception to this is China, which is going to suffer from a 125% tax rate. Now, the White House, if you look at their Twitter feed yesterday and today, is trying to play all of this off as 4D chess, as the art of the deal. They're actually quoting him from 2014 on Twitter talking about the art of the deal. They're saying, you know, this is what happens when you've got a genius in the White House. There is some doubt as to whether or not this was really the plan from day one. And when I say some doubt, I mean very, very significant doubt. The Wall Street Journal has a very good read I'd highly recommend this morning, looking at why Trump blinked. And the feeling is that his Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, really did finally manage to sit down with the president in a serious way and explain to him what was happening and why the markets were going to continue to be in free fall. It's reported in that piece that Trump said he was willing to take pain, but he wasn't willing to cause a depression. So that's good, but it's so all over the place. Even yesterday afternoon, they didn't know whether or not the higher rates, reciprocal rates, applied to China and Mexico. Still, it was reported they didn't. Now people are saying in the White House that they do. The idea that this has all been planned meticulously, I think, is seriously up for debate.
Cindy, of course, as Kate makes the point, it's not as though all the tariffs are gone. The UK is still in this 10% tariff. There is still the 25% specific tariff. There could yet be more tariffs on pharmaceuticals. We haven't had a de-escalation, but there is still a trade war underway. But I think it's fair to say the biggest loser, would you say, is China?
Well, it depends on how much you think this is an art of the deal. So in Trump, in MAGA world, let me just put forward, you know, the Scott Bessent Trump view of the world, or at least the narrative they're trying to say, is that Scott Bessent saying, you know, on Sunday, the president said that this to him, this is what he was going to do. He was going to whack on these threats and then have a stay of execution to make countries come and negotiate. Look at all these 75 countries who have already come to negotiate. In that scenario, given that China has retaliated instead of negotiated, that is why China is now being punished more today. And so in that scenario, China is the biggest loser. But as Kate says, that scenario is very much open for debate. And so if it is the case that Trump has blinked, then I actually think that in that universe, China made Trump blink in a sense of, I don't think many people in the world, whether in or outside of the White House, expected China to be basically tit for tat catching up with the American tariffs at every single round. You know, they levy 34%, China levies 34%. They levy an extra 50%, China does the same. And so effectively, you know, we're in this stage where it will cost twice as much to import goods from the US to China and vice versa now. And that is a massive contributor to the reason that the stock markets have been quite so bad in the last week. And so, you know, if you're from Beijing's perspective and you think that Trump has blinked, you're actually thinking, okay, this is what happens. We've shown him. We're not. The phrase they like to say is, if you want to fight, we'll accompany you to the end. We've shown you that we will do that. We've caused the stock market crash and you've blinked. And so actually, we have thrown around our weight a bit more.
Kate, do you think that's fair?
I have no doubt that China will have played a significant role in what's just happened for a very simple reason, that you had the world's largest economy and the world's second largest economy ramping up a trade war against each other. I think it was one piece of the puzzle. The sell-off of treasuries is, I think, what really started to spook the market into almost a vicious cycle, and certainly the White House, because what has always been considered the safest bet you can possibly make in the world, really, one of the safest places to put your money, almost overnight, all of a sudden seemed like it wasn't the case anymore. And I think that, you know, Cindy makes an important point that clearly last week when they announced these tariffs, there was an expectation that the world was just going to play ball. And it was certainly China, but it was also blocs like the European Union who started getting together and saying, well, we're going to have to respond in some way. Now, that's not necessarily a smart thing to do for your own country and for your own people, because as we know, and this is just a very basic fact of tariffs, as much as the White House might say otherwise, tariffs are paid by your country's businesses and your country's consumers. So there's very good reason not to put so-called reciprocal tariffs onto another country. But it was clear that China was going to do it and that other countries were going to do it. And it definitely felt going into the weekend like the White House was losing the narrative, and also that the chaos that Trump so thrives off of and that he so often likes to bring to trade negotiations, foreign policy negotiations, because he thinks that that chaos gives him a one-up. Sometimes it does. But in this case, it was very clear that they had lost control of the chaos and it was really spiraling. And you had Trump on the one hand, you know, sharing comments about, you know, really seemingly quite erratic comments, as he, again, he loves to do. This isn't exactly new on social media, but then showing videos of him golfing and greeting athletes in the Oval Office on Monday. It was very clear that for them, something wasn't quite right. I think one of the really interesting questions to ask is to what extent the fractures in the cabinet and the MAGA movement will have also impacted the president. Because, you know, I think on the very, very surface level, you had relative unity within the cabinet. But it is very clear that Howard Lutnick, the Commerce Secretary, who loves tariffs and is closer to a blue dog Democrat in many ways than a Republican, and then you had Scott Bessent, were clearly on different sides of this debate. And the fact that Trump opted for such a wild interpretation of tariffs last week, making it into the trade deficit numbers, actually, and then putting a percentage point where dollar signs might otherwise be, meant that markets were just so deeply confused and overwhelmed by how extreme this policy was. And it seems like Scott Bessent really did play a key role in winding this down. You also, of course, had Elon Musk and Peter Navarro, Trump's economic advisor who loves tariffs, going at each other over the past couple of days and accusing each other of not being as bright as the other. In the words of the press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, boys will be boys. But it definitely gave the impression, A, that the White House had not fully planned this out, B, that there was not unity, and C, that what was happening in the stock market clearly did bother them a lot more than the president ever wanted to say out loud or indicate. I mean, what's just so funny now, and you must laugh, is the fact that Donald Trump is saying things like, we've never seen a rally like this. It's not historical. Look what I've done to the stock market. It's incredible. You know, it's the art of the gaslight, really, but it's also so MAGA, it's so Trumpian, and you have to laugh.
Cindy, What does this mean for the Chinese economy? We are hearing, of course, that the UK government is preparing for perhaps, you know, the UK market, European market being flooded with Chinese goods. Are there opportunities here?
Yes, I think in the short term, British and European consumers can expect to have more cheap Chinese goods because 125% tariff on Chinese goods at the border is more than doubling the cost of them at the border. Now, of course, importers may not pass those costs on, but that will then have implications for American manufacturers themselves and retailers themselves. So, yes, I think in the short term, we will see that here in the rest of the world. But in China itself, you know, the exporters going into the States will have a tough time. But because of these retaliatory measures, the Chinese companies that import from the States, you know, the biggest source is soybeans and agricultural goods like that, they will also see effectively a doubling of their costs. And actually what's interesting is that what we've seen in the last 24 hours is that on Chinese social media, some of those complaints from some of those Chinese importers have been censored. So the Chinese seem to be very happy to allow public opinion to be bashing the tariffs, laughing at Trump, talking about how stupid all of this is, but not actually complaining about how they are suffering as a result of the retaliatory measures, which is, you know, probably pretty obvious. But I think it does show that the Chinese are keeping a close eye on how this blows back on them, because, you know, they might talk a big talk and say, we'll fight you to the end. But actually, the pain hasn't really quite started just yet. And it will be really, really painful for both sides in the coming weeks. And, you know, this is the kind of the tough talk before actually any punches have really been felt.
Now, Cindy, given this is your last Coffee House Shots, we better do, you know, your greatest hits. I mean, you've been producing this podcast for how long?
For 7 years.
Are you feeling emotional?
I am feeling emotional. It's we've Katie, you and I were there at the beginning, and James Forsyth was regular then, of course.
You've had to deal with some real divas over the years. I mean, who has been the most tricky, I suppose, in like turning up on time?
Punctuality wise, I think that political journalists are not generally known for that anyway, but I think both James and yourself and Fraser Nelson, back when he was doing this podcast, were some of the cats I had to herd. Yeah. Quite a lot of the time.
What about the goody two shoes? Who's like your star performer? Is it Kate Andrews is on this call? Who's getting like?
It has to be Kate Andrews.
I feel like that was an unfair setup. So he's allowed to answer honestly.
But lots of amazing memories. Some of the highlights include James Forsyth and Kate's argument about whether or not snacks by checkouts should be outlawed, criminalised for supermarkets to have that.
Was there a podcast once where Fraser came out against seatbelts?
I think it was the Rishi Sunak row about whether or not he was wearing a seatbelt.
Yes, and Katie, that's not an unfair description. I'm not sure it was exactly that. I was furious about seatbelt gate and the fact that I just couldn't get over sort of the curtain twitching, reporting him to the police attitude. But because he was just so keen to debate every topic, we did get into dangerous territory, like Libertarian Party in America territory, I might say, about seatbelt debates. And poor Cindy has just had to chair countless ridiculous arguments.
But I have to I very much enjoyed them. I have to say the thing that made me most nervous always was Fraser would say, mention a song name, you know, kind of hammer it in into a very obscure reference and then make me play it at the end. And I'm assuming that no one in the music industry is listening to this now. So I'm going to say that actually was always a bit tricky with that one.
It's not going to be your problem. And finally, Cindy, were there ever any podcasts for listeners that just had to go in the bin because they didn't go right, or when you have to use your judgment to say this wasn't good enough? I mean, obviously us saying you've really helped us sound more, I can't even speak now, you're going to have to edit this, you helped us sound much more eloquent through this, which meant we then got TV gigs and blurred our lines, but you know.
Yeah, I think there have been a fair amount of bloopers over the years, but I'll just leave it at that because there was a reason that they were cut out. I think maybe none of us here would want to reveal anything more about those.
Well, with that, we'll miss you. Thank you, Cindy. Thank you, Kate. And thank you for listening.